it kind of flips the traditional model on its head. Because my background was in advertising, I never studied psychology, but what I did know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the most powerful way for a product or person or idea to stand out in a crowded marketplace is to focus on what makes it different.
Welcome back to Future Proof, friends. I am your ever faithful host, Bill Sheridan. Today, let's talk about how fascinating you are. Now, there's a word, right? Fascinate. Let's break that down for a second. What does that word really mean? It actually goes back to Roman times, when that word meant things like captivating and spellbinding. And at that point, it was perceived almost as an evil curse of sorts back then. Today, it's more about how the world sees you. At least, that's how Sally Hogshead defines it. Sally is my guest this week. And she's a world-class branding expert who has discovered a new way to measure how people perceive you. In other words, this idea of fascination is about knowing yourself, but more importantly, it's about knowing what others know about you, right? About how to stand out in a crowded marketplace, which couldn't be more important today, really. We've got to focus on what makes us different, what makes us stand out. And as Sally would say, different is better than better. So what makes us different? What makes us fascinating, in other words? Well, first let me introduce Sally. She gave the closing keynote at the recent CCH User Conference in Miami Beach, where she had the unenviable task of trying to convince a room full of accounting and finance professionals how they can become fascinating. Now, there is a steep hill to climb, but climb it she did. See, Sally she's developed this algorithm of sorts that will tell each of us where we are at our most fascinating best, right? In other words, where we stand out most from the rest of the folks who operate in our spaces, how we are different from the crowd. That's where our sweet spot is. And she calls this the fascination advantage. And it's a matrix of sorts that lays seven characteristics against each other on X and Y axes. And those seven characteristics are these. Number one, innovation. So in other words, you change the game with creativity. Number two, passion. So in other words, you connect with emotion. Number three is power, which means you lead with command. Number four is prestige. In other words, you earn respect with higher standards. Number five is something she calls trust. So in other words, you build loyalty with consistency. Number six is mystique. In other words, you communicate with substance. And number seven is what she calls alert, which means you present problems with care. And at the intersection of those seven characteristics is where that sweet spot is for you. And that's what sets you apart from the crowd. And that's where you should be demonstrating what makes you unique to those you do business with. And this isn't just theory or flavor of the month type stuff here. This is data that's been culled from more than a million professionals worldwide. And it goes beyond an individual perspective here, too. There's a team building perspective built in to all of this as well. This is an assessment that will help you better understand the communication styles of everyone on your team so that you can see the value that everyone brings to the team. It kind of shows the tasks that suit each team member and how each person can make the best use of their time, right? And the cool thing is Sally wants you to take the assessment too, and she's going to let you do it for free. Kind of an early holiday present, I guess, for all you listeners out there. So here's what you need to do. Go to this website. Go to howtofascinate.com/you. So that's howtofascinate, FACCINATE.com/YOU. Then enter the code FUTUREPROOF. That's all one word, capital F, capital P. And just simply take the assessment from there. And Sally's going to explain a little bit more during our interview about how this assessment works and what's kind of buried or embedded, if you will, inside this assessment. But it really is powerful stuff. I mean, getting to know what makes you different from everyone else out there, getting to know more about you, but more importantly, getting to know what other people know about you, right? Once you know that, you know what sets you apart. You know how to start differentiating yourself from all your competitors out there. And this isn't touchy-feely stuff, people. This is powerful, differentiating, competitive advantage stuff we're talking about here. And now we have a tool for figuring out what it is. So give it a try and give it a listen. Here's Sally Hogshead. So Sally, the word fascinate isn't really one that I would ever use to describe myself, but what I'm hearing you're saying is that it really kind of should, right? I mean, in a way, we're all fascinating. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yes, you're right. And not only do we each have qualities that make us fascinating, in other words, make us most compelling, most valuable, in some cases, irreplaceable, but for nobody is it more important to understand how to fascinate clients than CPAs. There's so much of what a CPA does going through the financial processes that can be perceived as a commodity. It can be perceived that a CPA is not adding value. They're simply just transactionally processing in a nameless, faceless way. And yet, if a CPA can build the relationship to make sure that it's a real connection, it's not just something where PDFs are flying back and forth, then it elevates their stature within the area, within their industry, and it makes sure that that relationship isn't going to get distracted when somebody newer, shinier comes along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, well, let's define our terms. What does that word fascinate mean? And you alluded to it a little bit there,
but
define it for me.
Fascination is a neurological state of intense focus. Okay. Now, here's the really cool thing about it. Fascination was perceived, it actually started in ancient Roman times, it was perceived as an evil curse. Parents protected their children from the god of fascination. The concept of fascination was about captivation, spellbinding, hypnotism. And if you go through history, you can see this word coming up through Byzantine Empire, Constantinople, this concept that to be fascinated is to be so gripped with somebody else that it's almost like falling in love. And yet in the 20th century, mankind invented something named marketing. And so just as with many other things that happened in the first half of the 20th century, we replaced this instinctive, hardwired force of attraction, this focus, we replaced that with marketing, thinking, well, you don't need to get and keep someone's attention. You just have to repeat the logo enough times that you can pound it into their minds. And that's where the traditional advertising model started, with AT&T and Kellogg's and IBM, where they spent billions and billions of dollars for decades and decades and decades. And that's why the old school of branding worked really well, because there wasn't a lot of distraction in the environment. But it doesn't work anymore today. So the parallel for CPAs and any of us working in positions that could be perceived as a commodity is, if you have the biggest budget, you don't need to be the most fascinating. If you have, if you are the most famous, you don't need to be the most fascinating. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the biggest budget and you are not the most famous, then you must find a way to build a relationship with your clients so that you stand out in their minds. They listen, they remember, and they take action. And that's what I teach them how to do.
So this sounds like it's more about, well, knowing yourself, but also knowing what the people that you work with know about you as well.
Exactly. It kind of flips the traditional model on its head. Because my background was in advertising, I never studied psychology, but what I did know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the most powerful way for a product or person or idea to stand out in a crowded marketplace is to focus on what makes it different. Mm-hmm. And yet that's not what psychology tests tell us how to do. So I applied all the best principles of branding, like focus groups, like reading the hidden cues and signals that we're sending out, but not realizing that we're sending out. And I turned it into a force for good.
Yeah.
So that, as an example, we've measured about 300,000 people from CPAs, wealth management advisors, And what we found is sometimes it can feel for them like they're tooting their own horn when they talk about themselves. They don't want to sell themselves. It feels grandiose. Mm-hmm. And yet they have to stand out in some way. I mean, they have to be able to be memorable. And so what we've discovered with groups like this is if you give somebody the words to understand how they are perceived by other people at their best, if you give them the words to understand it, then it doesn't feel like bragging for them. Mm-hmm. It feels like they're being authentic. And in our recent study with Edward Jones, when we measured their highest performers and we took them through the assessment and we measured how confident they were in introducing themselves to prospects before they took the assessment mm-hmm. and after. After they took the assessment, they were 200% more confident to introduce themselves to prospects because they knew then what was their A game.
I gotcha. Wow. So what is this idea of fascination and actually being able to measure it and identify, you know, what makes us different? But what does that allow us to do now that we may not have been able to do before?
Up until pretty recently, we didn't need to fascinate. In other words, we didn't need to stand out because the market just wasn't that crowded. But, you know, we all know that attention spans are getting shorter. Competition is rising. Digital technology has made it possible for CPAs who don't have experience and knowledge and depth of industry best practices, anybody can become a CPA. And so the problem is that if one CPA is more expensive than the other, it's really hard for the consumer, for the client to know. And if the clients don't know how one CPA is adding value over another, then of course they're just gonna go with the cheapest one. So about 10 years ago, something really significant happened. And that was that clients started valuing their time as much or more than they began valuing their dollars. And so whoever was the easiest to work with was the first one they went with. Somebody who was referred by their buddy or somebody that they saw an ad somewhere. Relationships have become now that they don't take place on the golf course. They don't take place over lunch as often as they used to. So the steep learning curve that clients have of trying to pick who's going to be guiding in such a significant part of their life has gotten shortened to almost like throwing a dart at the wall. Mm-hmm. And as a result, CPAs have to work significantly harder to be able to prove why somebody should put their dollars and their faith in one CPA over another. Unfortunately, CPAs, usually traditionally, are really good at a lot of things, but marketing and those first moments of an introduction are not among them. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, CPAs are much more comfortable focusing on the facts, making sure that things stay safe, making sure the details are all aligned, understanding new tax law, understanding what's happening with the Dow Jones and legislation and these huge macro changes that will continue to more rapidly shift how a CPA does his or her job. They're very good at those kinds of things traditionally. But when it comes to thinking, how could I add value immediately to a client without requiring that I add value after they've hired me? Mm-hmm. And that's why in this industry, that's why there's just crushing pressure. Here's the reality. If you don't know how you add value, don't expect anybody else to know.
Right.
It's not the client's job to know how you add value. And so if you can't demonstrate a reason why they should work with you, then they're just going to move on to the next thing. And that's why, you know, it's a bummer, but some of the best people are starting to become left behind. Some of the most well-trained, experienced, knowledgeable, skillful CPAs are finding it more and more difficult to compete because they haven't learned this what feels for them terrifying. They haven't learned this new world.
Right.
And a way that they can overcome becoming a commodity is by understanding that they already have certain built-in qualities that are of great benefit to their client, that are absolutely essential. But the client can't know that unless the CPA focuses on that, doubles down on it. And here's an example. Because my background was in advertising, I grew up in my career, I spent a decade learning how to give a brand the exact words it needs to define how it adds value. It's Mini Cooper is a creative brand. Godiva is a luxurious brand. Southwest is a friendly brand. Coke is a delightful brand. Mm-hmm. And by being able to summarize how a brand is positioned, gives a brand tremendous competitive advantage. About 10 years ago, I decided that I wanted to try to do that same thing for individuals. What if we could summarize how an individual is most likely to provide a benefit as a specialty in just one word? How would we figure out what that word was? Is it possible to summarize a human being in a word? And what I discovered the answer was, over the course of 3 years, I built an algorithm that does just that. CPAs are starting to use a lot more AI, a lot of more high-level technology. You can think about this almost like that. Mm-hmm. I created a technology that can measure, in the same way that an ad agency would measure a brand, I created a technology that can measure how other people see you and what you already do that's of benefit to them. And so when a CPA or anybody on their teams, when they take the fascination advantage assessment, they're guided through a series of questions that are not asking, how do other people see you? Because if you say that, there's bias comes in. What I'm asking are very carefully worded questions that are measuring the cues and signals that they're consciously or unconsciously sending out, almost like poker tells.
Yeah.
And then separately, I measured how do people respond to those cues and signals. Oh, so once we know what cues and signals you're sending out, like for example, if you're the type of person, question on the assessment is, do you have a big circle of friends or do you have a more intimate circle of friends? Do you, when you walk into a restaurant, what's the first thing that you notice, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. learned that then from that, you can deduce how that person is interacting with the world. And then compared to a separate piece of research that was how do people respond to those cues. And so when somebody takes the fascination advantage, it says, here's what you're doing right that is admired and appreciated by others, mm-hmm. and here's how to do more of it.
So, and here's what I found fascinating. So you spoke at a conference recently, mainly accounting and finance pros in the audience. You asked them to take this assessment beforehand, so you could see who you were talking to. And the results kind of stunned you in a way, didn't they? What did you find?
This group is so different than the average population of 1 million people that I've measured. A lot of times, you know, the smaller a population, the more distinct it becomes because it's not watered down. The bell curve is different on a very, very small population. Mm-hmm. This was a big population. We probably had about 900 people in the audience. Almost all of them had taken the assessment. But the across those seven different ways of adding value, trust, innovation, alert, mystique, et cetera, these seven different categories, they scored wildly high on trust. Now, that's not a shocker.
Right.
But it's statistically significant. 74% higher, that means they're almost twice as likely to have primary trust as the average population. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we're out there measuring convicts. This is, right. These are professionals.
Right.
They scored very low on passion. They almost half of the average, they half of what the average population scores. So what that means is they're very, that this group is very consistent, but perhaps at the cost of being afraid of change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This group is not passionate. At least they don't communicate through emotion and high energy, which is good because that means low drama. It could be a disadvantage in that that means they're going to have a harder time keeping their clients emotionally engaged. And so that's where great teams come in. Great teams are built on diversity.
Yeah.
The problem is a lot of times CPAs tend to hire to replicate themselves. And so the teams become very imbalanced where everybody's good at trust, but then nobody is watching, oh my God, we're falling way behind the times. So we really need to figure out how do we talk to millennials.
So in other words, what you're saying is if you're like these accounting and finance pros, you self-identify as very high on trust, not so high on innovation, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but what you have to be saying to yourself is, okay, who can I surround myself with who is high on innovation?
If that's a needed outcome, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, like dentists score extremely high in alert. Marketers soar extremely high in passion and innovation. Like when we measured a large group of people at Twitter, their group, very high passion innovation. Porsche, very high power prestige, but IBM was, it was all about trust and alert. Mm-hmm. IT companies mm-hmm. tend to score high on mystique, you know, where they don't necessarily want to talk about it. So you can kind of think of when you put people together who over-index in a certain way, then the group becomes even more exaggeratedly so. If you go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, when you say that, it's funny that you use the word trust because for years, that's almost been kind of the logo of the CPA profession is the most trusted business advisor.
Yes. Right?
So I think they already kind of self-identify in that area in a way. So
I agree with you. And I think that unfortunately, that's going to increasingly become a competitive disadvantage. And mm-hmm. the reason why is because trust has become a commodity in the profession in that it's price of entry. A sport car is fast. For a sport car to say that it's fast doesn't differentiate it. So, like, of course the CPA is trusted. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like saying Harvard students are smart, comedians are funny. So you've got to find a different way.
Right.
If you had a comedian that was strategic, that would start to be interesting. The way they wrote their jokes, that they really thought about politics or inner workings of the human brain to be able to come up with their humor. If a sports car was also economical, that would be a new way of thinking of it other than fast.
Right.
So when you have a word that's associated with a certain category, you'd have to put a lot of advertising dollars before people are going to recognize, remember the brand. And it's true for us, for our businesses, but also as individuals. Here's the way to find the secret door.
Awesome.
Go to this website, howtofascinate.com/you, Y-O-U.
That's Y-O-U, right. Okay.
Uh-huh. Now, the word fascinate is a double-edged sword. It's a great word. It's a cool word. It's a really hard to spell word. Right. So let me spell it out. How to fascinate. fascinate.com/UYOU. When you arrive at the page, it will ask you if you have a code. And if you have a code, you can take it for free. This is the express version of the assessment. The code is future-proof.
Nice.
Future-proof, all one word, not case sensitive.
Oh, that's awesome.
When they so immediately they'll have access to answer 28 questions. It goes very quickly. You can do it on your phone. It takes about 3 minutes. The questions that I'm asking you when you're taking the assessment will be very hard to figure out. Why am I asking you this question? And what are you discerning from the information, whether you rank yourself on a scale of 1 to 4? And the answer is because if you look deeply into branding, there are certain things that drive decision-making that we don't recognize on the surface. At the end, you get a mini report that gives you the information on here's how you're most likely to be perceived as adding value. This is what people admire and respect in you. When you're communicating in this way, you are perceived as more valuable, worth more money, and it's important in your career to make sure that you're being authentic and fully aligned, but that you also can differentiate yourself in this overwhelmed, crowded, distracted, commoditized world of finance.
Mm-hmm. And so what do we do with that information? What would you suggest as first steps? You get the assessment back,
uh-huh.
you see what you're really high in, maybe
yes.
trust, maybe low over here. What do you do with that information?
The first thing to do is to take a look at it. And let's say if it comes back that you have high in alert, which is details, meaning you are very likely to perform at a high level if you focus on details, then stop and take a look. say to yourself, what's an area, what's something I do over the course of my day or year where I know that I'm really over-delivering in the area of details? So you can start to have an example, like a GPS. Okay, here's where I'm really able to make a big difference. Mm-hmm. And then think of an example of a time when you feel like you are just not making progress. You feel like you're stuck and you're discouraged. Feels like you're moving through quicksand. That's probably an area where you're not focusing on details.
Okay.
You're either prevented from doing it, or it's something that you really probably shouldn't be focused on. You should outsource it,
mm-hmm.
or you should manage expectations. And then finally, take a look at what's an area where you could bring a focus of details that you currently are not. For example, if you're, let's take it out of the work context for a minute. Let's say you want to plan a party for somebody. If you're really good at details, maybe you don't need to bring in the unicorns. Maybe the way that you're going to love it and do a great job and get everybody feeling impressed and engaged is by being really meticulous. The invitations go out at a certain time. The food is served on the table at a specific time. You already know you have the whole thing mapped out. That for you, if you're a detail-oriented person, would be much more enjoyable for you and probably for your guests.
Mm-hmm.
So going back, the first step is find an area where you already are applying this most valuable trait of yours. Next, find an area where you are struggling and how can you bring that to it. And then finally, find ways throughout all of your life, your work, your life, your activities, your family, your peers, and keep in mind that you're going to be most confident and highest performing in the area that you discover when you take the fascination advantage assessment. Bill, something that I notice is this is a new way of looking at yourself through the eyes of others. But it's also a new way to look at your team. And how do you increase the performance on your team without hiring and firing? How do you take what people are already doing right and reward and replicate that? That's what high-performing teams do differently. So if people have questions about how they apply their assessment, or if there's any other way we can help them improve the results that their teams are getting, maybe somebody who's a leader of young mentees or somebody who's feeling like the team isn't able to keep up with how rapidly the environment is changing, they can always reach out. And the email address is hello@howtofascinate.com. And we have all kinds of cool team kits and programs people can do in an offsite so that not only are you understanding what makes individuals fascinating, but you're fascinating them at a lunch and learn or as a motivational event.
Mm-hmm. That's really, you know, I didn't really even stop to think about that whole team building and construction aspect to this. It's almost kind of like the whole Jim Collins getting the right people in the right seats type of thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It really is. So it's not, this is something that I think is important. We focus so much on how we fix our employees or get them to change that sometimes we can overlook that they're already doing a lot of things right. That's just not currently part of their job description.
Right.
And that's really empowering to say to somebody, you know what I've noticed that you really make a difference to our team when you do the detail orientation or the creativity or the emotional engagement. And that especially with younger people, that gets people feeling like this is a place where they want to work, where they're going to wake up, they're going to be excited, they're going to be a wellspring of potential.
That's great. Thanks for that gift, by the
way. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure our readers will find that.
I'm sure you have ways people can interact with you, like a comment section, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be great for people put in the comments what your result is, because it's always really interesting to see how is your audience for this podcast, will it be similar to the ones here at the conference where you and I are right now?
Yeah.
Is it similar? Is it more similar to the powerful people who work at Porsche or the creative people who work at Twitter or the passionate marketers on Madison Avenue?
I can't wait to find out. That'll be great.
Yeah.
So you spent a morning in a room full of accounting and finance pros, and lived to tell the tale. So congratulations. What stood out for you after this conversation and hearing the results of the assessments and everything that kind of went with it? What's kind of standing out for you from all of that?
The genuine focus an in-the-moment presence of the audience made me feel like I wanted to work with each and every one of them because they weren't on their phones and they weren't distracted and they weren't talking the way I wouldn't want my CPA to be. They were completely engaged processing the data, having enough human interaction to laugh when something's funny. And I felt a real sense of comfort the way you would want to when you're sitting across the table, or in my case, on the stage, with a group of people that can have a very significant role in your financial future.
Well, Sally, thanks for spending some of your valuable time with me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Can I make one quick comment?
Yes.
My mom would laugh at me right now because I sound like I'm 5 years old, because as you and I know, I have a cold or my allergies are acting up. So if it sounds, you know how a little kid is like, Mom.
We've all been there.
Totally. So I think I've Sudafed my future. But it's really a pleasure to talk with you.
It's been fun.
Yeah, it's great to be able to have rapport and discussion about merging two things we don't normally think going together.
Exactly. And this ties in directly with my world,
yeah,
which I appreciate your insights into. So this has been a lot of fun. I'll give you another chance to do it again later on down the road.
I look forward to it.
When you're feeling a little bit better too. So
thank you.
Thanks.
That was Sally Hogshead. She's a world-class branding expert who's discovered a new way to measure how people perceive you, what differentiates you from everyone else in the market. And that's a huge differentiator if you have that kind of information, right? If you want to find out what that differentiator is for you, here's the way to do it. You go to this website, howtofascinate.com/you. That's howtofascinate, FASCINATE.com/YOU. Then enter the code FUTUREPROOF. That's all one word, capital F, capital P. And then just take Sally's assessment for free. It's a great first step toward figuring out what sets you apart from your competition and what your clients and customers find valuable about you.